And on the line now I have Ellen O'Malley Dunlop, who is CEO of the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning, John.
And thank you very much for taking my call. I know how busy
Not
you are.
Not at all, my pleasure.
Okay, Ellen, we're going to talk about Body Right, which is a sexual awareness and prevention programme for young people, and also an upcoming fundraiser. But before that, could you give our listeners a little bit of background about the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre?
Yes, the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre is nearly 40 years in existence now, and it was set up after a march in Dublin in 1979, where women marched to reclaim the night, and that was as a consequence of a very brutal rape of a 16-year-old girl in Sean McDermott Street. And a group of women got together and set up a helpline, and that helpline is 1-800-77-88-88. And in that first year, there were 78 calls to the helpline, and in our 2014 annual statistics we had over 12,000 calls to the helpline, and 10,000 of those were genuine counselling calls. Others were obvious information calls, etc. But it's 1-800-77-88-88, and it's a 24-hour helpline, and there's always a trained person at the end of the line. Now, we have 34 people working here, staff, and the centre, the head office is in Leeson Street, 70 Lower Leeson Street, and it's open 6 days a week, Monday through to Saturday. And there's an outreach in Coolock in the Civic Centre, an outreach in Talla, in Talla Hospital, and an outreach in Dokas in the Women's Prison. And as I say, the helpline is a 24-hour helpline, because at any one time we have to have 70 trained volunteers who give us a commitment for 2 years. And the reason we ask people for 2 years is because that's as much as, we would ask people to stay, because the obviously taking calls can be very harrowing for people. And also another service of the Volunteer Services Department is accompaniment to the Sexual Assault Treatment Unit in the Rotunda Hospital, and also accompaniment to court, and they also can help with school talks. But the accompaniment to the Sexual Assault Treatment Unit, in fact, in this year, 2015, it's up by 30, in the first 8 months of this year, it's up by 36%. So that's quite a huge jump from 2014. So we train volunteers twice a year, and anybody who's interested in becoming a volunteer, they can call the helpline as well, because it's obviously it's manned all the time, and they can just ask to be transferred to the Volunteer Service Department, and that's a free phone up to 12 o'clock at night, and it's 1-800-77-88-88. And if anybody's memory is triggered, and this often happens when we're talking about the centre, people get their own, of childhood sexual abuse in particular, have their own memories triggered, and we would encourage people to use the helpline and get the support that is there, because a very clear message from us is that when you get the support, you can come through it. It's, you know, the aftermath of rape and sexual assault can stay with a person for way too long unless they get the help, and when you get the help and support, you can manage it and get on with your life.
Yeah, and that first step is always the hardest. I talk to Women's Aid and Amen and different organisations, and it always comes up that the first step, the first picking up the phone and making that first step is the hardest. But once that's done...
That's right, and that's why I said to you, like, our helpline, we said we have over 12,000 calls, and 10,000 of those are genuine counselling calls, but a lot of the ones, the other 2,000, some of them would be hang-ups, because people, obviously we get hoax calls, as a lot of helplines do as well,
yeah.
But the other ones would be people who were, they might have the courage to ring the number and then not speak, and that's fair enough and fine, but you know, I would encourage people to ring back, and even if you just, you know, want to say your name or not your name, or say that you were a victim, whatever you want to say, you know, we're here to listen and to support and help you. Now, the other part of the work we have as well, and because our mission is preventing and healing the trauma of rape and sexual assault and childhood sexual abuse, works. And the healing bit is the counselling and the therapy and the helpline. The prevention bit is the education and training department. And that department has developed a programme called Body Right, which we developed it with young people in second level, in secondary schools. Yeah. And where we go into schools and we train people to work with the young people in small groups to give them the experience of discussing and asking the questions, you know, that are very much to the fore for young people, about, you know, their own development, about relationships, about the law, and about respect, and about consent, because so often people don't appreciate how important consent is in sexual relationships, and the law is very black and white about consent. In fact, the law states, you know, that sex without consent is rape, and that's very black and white, and a lot of time people don't appreciate that, and sometimes that people take risks, and you know, they can be take advantage of somebody when they're drunk or when they're asleep or in a situation where they're not able to give consent. So it's really important that we have these conversations with young people and make them aware, and you know, through small groups rather than giving them lectures, you know, and responding to their questions as well.
Yeah, now with prevention, it's always great. And you mentioned respect there, and teaching them, particularly young men, to have respect for young women, it is very, very important. Then, just to clarify the Body Right programme, the Rape Crisis Centre invites appropriate second level school staff.
We train people to go into schools. Now, sometimes schools opt to have, you know, their own teacher. They might have somebody who's in charge of the SPHE program in secondary school who might do it. But then other schools opt to share, you know, that they'll have a teacher from one school will go into another school, so that the young people will be freer with somebody that they don't know, or, you know, that they might prefer not to be meeting the teacher who is talking or facilitating these programs with them. And sometimes in other parts of the country, because they wouldn't be as concentrated, obviously, with schools as the Dublin area, they go in from the Rape Crisis Centres around the country, because there are 16 Rape Crisis Centres in all. Obviously, Dublin is the biggest one, but there are 15 other Rape Crisis Centres around the country.
Now, that training is taken, it's a free training programme, and it's taking place, is it March next year?
The training programme for teachers, for yeah. Yes. And there are a number of other training programmes that are available in the education department here. And they also work looking at dignity at work and bullying and harassment. Now, those trainings wouldn't be free, but because we have to earn, obviously, yeah. For that particular department, because it is not itself funding. But the Body Right is free, because we get funding from the Department of Justice to run those programmes, and they supported the development of the programmes, and I think they're really important, and it's terribly important. For example, that the SPHE programme and Body Right are delivered in schools, because we know, sadly, from research that was done only in the last couple of years in third level institutions, that 25% of young women, the respondents in these research, said that they had unwanted sexual contact. I mean, that is really unacceptable. And it's not just that bit of research has given us that information, but we know that anecdotally. We hear it every day. People are talking about, you know, inappropriate sexual activity. And as you say, you know, to teach, when I use the word respect, you know, that it's not good enough to, be cavalier about your language or how you are in terms of touch in relation to another person. We hear stories about people being harassed on public transport. You know, I mean, it's just has to, as you say, it's really important to get into the schools, because the schools have the potential victims and perpetrators of tomorrow. So it's really important that those school programs are delivered.
You just mentioned 25% there of young women. That's a very high percentage, and it's disgraceful, really, isn't it?
It is a very high percentage, and in fact, the other percentage that is really shocking is a piece of research that was done. It's out of date now, and it was done in 2002. It's called the Savvy Report, Sexual Abuse and Violence in Ireland, and it looked at attitudes and beliefs to sexual violence in Ireland, and there were over 3,000 people interviewed for that particular piece of research, and I mean, it told us that over the lifetime of an Irish woman, that 200,000 Irish women have been victims of rape, and over the lifetime of an Irish man, 60,000 Irish men have been victims of rape. I mean, that these are absolutely shocking figures, and we have been trying to get a second Savvy report so that we could make the comparisons now, so that we could have the proper information to inform policies and, in, you know, going forward, and to make sure that we are, you know, we have the proper services for victims. Until we have that, I think, you know, we won't know whether or not. We have seen an increase in people availing of the services over the years, and of course we had the Ryan Murphy and Cloyne reports, and everybody was absolutely shocked you know, at the stories that were told. Now, these were stories we were listening to in the therapy rooms all the time, and we have more people accessing the services, which is very good, but we don't know whether that is as a result of people feeling more confident and coming forward, or whether it is that the levels of violence in our society have gone up. So this is why we need the second research, you know, to make the comparison.
Well, I'm shocked at those figures. And you say that was in 2002?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And again, as I say, from then we had all these other reports, and that piece, that research told us, like the Murphy report was the, you know, the Dublin Archdiocese, and it was about clerical abuse, and the other Ryan report was about institutional abuse, and the Savvy report told us that only, not only, but it's too many, but over 3% were perpetrators, you know, clerics or people in, like teachers, for example, people in situations of authority. So the majority of rapes and sexual assault and sexual abuse are perpetrated by people known to the victim, and people in communities, you know, and people in families. So, you know, that's a very hard nettle to grasp. But until we grasp it, you know, we won't be able to really deal with this, you know, most heinous crime in our society.
It is. It's a horrible crime. And you mentioned the calls are increasing. Do you feel that you're fighting a losing battle there? I know you're there to help people, but do you get frustrated at these figures and these reports?
Well, I think what's most frustrating, John, is that our funding has been cut. Our funding has been cut since 2008, at a time when, you know, the numbers of people accessing the services or trying to access the service have been going up. And like everybody here in the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre has been on a frozen and cut salary since 2008, and the cuts range from 5% to 20%. So, you know, in nearly 8 years, people are on frozen salaries. So the staff here are doing absolutely amazing work, and they are extremely dedicated. But we have a waiting list now of 100 people. I mean, that is unacceptable, and we're trying to impress upon government, you know, to restore the funding. Like, we've been cut by 30%, and we want government to restore the funding so that we are able to respond. We've got the expertise, you know, we want to respond and support and help people get through these heinous crimes. So we have been calling on government to restore our funding. Now, we still don't know. I am answerable to a board. I have to produce a business plan. I have to produce a budget. And I can't do that because I don't know what money we're going to get for 2016. And again, always we have had to supplement our funding through fundraising. And I know you've mentioned there that we have a number of fundraising events. People have been extremely generous when we had our Flag Day at the end of October. And we asked people to do a Let's Do Lunch. You know, the people will have lunch in their own house and they'd ask their friends to donate something and they would give that to the Rape Crisis Centre. And we have an event coming off in the Fern Restaurant on the 9th of this month, and also after Christmas we have an event on the 6th of January, Nollaig na Mann. But we really depend on people's generosity, because the government grant doesn't cover, certainly it doesn't even cover salaries, not to talk about, you know, heat, light, all the other extra things that we have to pay for.
Yes, and then, as you said, it costs money to train the volunteers that are on the other end of the line. And
absolutely, yes, yeah.
And if there's somebody out there now and they want to ring 1-800-77-8888, just let them know what sort of person is going to be on the other end of the line, these volunteers, what training they've received.
Oh, well, if you're calling during the day, you know, you have professional qualified telephone counsellors on the line, and every therapist who works face-to-face with individuals here are properly trained, accredited psychotherapists. And the training that the volunteers get who work, as I say, out of hours, you know, who cover the line from 7 in the evening. The centre is open 8 in the morning to 7 in the evening, 6 days a week, except Saturday we close at 4. But outside of hours, those hours, trained volunteers, they get a very thorough training. In fact, the training was given level 8 in FITAC, so that'll tell you the quality of the training that they get. They also get supervision, ongoing supervision. And if somebody has had a difficult call, the head of the volunteer services department carries a backup mobile, so that the volunteer is always supported by professional help from the centre. So it's a really, really thorough training.
Now, you mentioned earlier on about the outreach programmes, and you mentioned Coolock Civic Centre. Just to tell the listeners, how does this outreach programme work?
Well, it's an outreach service.
So
you ring the helpline, the 1-800-77-8888, and you make, if you want to see a therapist, you make the appointment, and you, with the telephone counsellors, will make the appointment with you. And if you're living in or near the Coolock Centre, then the appointment will be made for you for there, and you go there and you meet your therapist there. Obviously, you know, everything is by appointment, and the same in the outreach in Talla and the Dokas Women's Prison, the outreach service there. Again, they're all therapy that is provided in those outreach services.
And that's all on 1-800-77-8888.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Right, Ellen. Listen, I have great admiration for you, and I'm shocked at the figures that you're after telling me, and the amount of calls you take. And it's great work you're doing. Is there anything? I went onto the website, and it's an excellent website, and particularly about consent. It's a very important point to get across, and it is put across on that. So, is there anything you'd like to add, Ellen?
Well, just to say thanks to all the people who have been supportive of the Rape Crisis Centre, and I'm very proud to lead an organisation where, you know, we have amazing dedicated staff and volunteers. They're absolutely fantastic, and I would encourage anybody who, you know, has had a bad experience of sexual violence or childhood sexual abuse, that they avail of the service, you know, and that they know that they will be believed, and that they if people don't want to report a crime to the Gardaí, we still see them. You don't have to report to the Gardaí. I think it's important that people report to the Gardaí, but if they don't want to, we have total respect for that. Because I would encourage people to report, because it's really important that these perpetrators don't get away with these crimes.
Right. Now, if there's somebody out there and they're saying to themselves, oh, something happened to me, but it's not as serious as rape, would you say to the people looking, look, there's nothing too trivial if you just want to talk?
There's nothing. It depends on each individual. Yeah. Every individual's response is different, and we have to, if it's, you know, we would trust that we will support you.
Well, listen, Ellen, thank you very much for talking to me this morning.
Thank you, John.
It's terrible that service is necessary, but it is unfortunately very, very necessary. So,
and we would hope that government would restore our funding, which is really important.
So when the potential TDs start knocking on doors,
exactly,
just mention it to them.
Have they supported the Rape Crisis Centre's restoration of funding?
Okay, and that's 1-800-778-888. Ellen, thank you very much.
John.
Thank you very much. And
thank you.
Try and have a happy Christmas. Thank you.
You too, John. God bless.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Yes, Ellen O'Malley Dunlop there, CEO of the Rape Crisis Centre. And if you want to contact them, we'll be giving out the numbers at the end of the show. It's 1-800-77-88-88.
This is 90.3 Near FM.